T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
40 years this year since I had my
40 years.
Years.
That's crazy.
I'm your oldest one that you've talked to that has had, you know, my cancer that long ago.
That's true. 40 years though. We're not that old. Sheila, we're not that old. Welcome to Walk a Mile in My Boots podcast, actually 1.2 miles, because that is the distance of the MD Anderson Boot Walk to End Cancer, which happens November 9th. If you'd like to sign up for the team, we'll have all the information on how to do that, or you can email me at any time, george@thebullhouston.com. And I will send you a link and you can become a member of our team immediately. This podcast series, as you guys know, focuses on the heroic stories in the fight against cancer. And talking to my sister, Sheila, who, by the way, is more than just a little reluctant, I think, sometimes to be rooked into all the stuff that I do here. But I really appreciate you jumping on and talking about your journey and your a heroic fight, I have to say, in the fight against cancer. So thanks for agreeing to do this, darling.
No problem. I'm just happy that you think I have something to offer.
Oh, my gosh. Do you ever? Let's start at the beginning, I guess, of your journey. I don't really remember how it got started. I know that you had some problems, difficulty breathing, because we like to play
right.
flag football, and we did all that stuff at Western, and we were involved.
Right.
And you had some issues just catching your breath or feeling like you could breathe properly. Is that what started
right.
it all?
That's what started, was just an inability to actually breathe properly. You know, I thought I had a chest cold and that kind of thing. And so, you know, I over-the-counter stuff to take care of that. And then it developed into itching. Purititis, I think is what it's called.
Mm-hmm.
I itched constantly. And it was to the point that I was scarring myself because it was just so horrendous. And when it got to the point that I couldn't lie down and sleep, it would wake me up because I would be gasping. I decided, well, maybe I need to, and this was months. This was over a few months here. And I decided I needed to see a doctor, and that's when I went to our family physician. And he did a chest x-ray, and he came back very concerned when he got the x-ray. He said, he showed it to me, and you could not see my lungs nor my upper stomach. It was all whited out with a tumor. It was, he said, basically the size of a football crammed into my chest.
I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember that description.
I went to the hospital there in Bowling Green, and they decided they wanted to take the smallest tumor, which was in my throat. They wanted to take it out and biopsy it. I'm like, cool. We'll get that done. Everybody will go home.
Right.
And I don't remember if you were with me the day the doctor came to the door and just stood in the doorway and said, you've got three options. You can go to Louisville, you can go to Bethesda, or you can go to Houston. Which one do you want to go to? And I was like, why? Well, you know, I feel like they're going to be able to help you there.
Uh-huh.
Never told me what it was, anything. And I'm like, I guess Louisville, it's the closest one, you
mm-hmm.
know?
Mm-hmm.
And,
Dr. Lowenbrow, right?
Yes, Stanley Lowenbrow.
Dr. Lowenbrow, I remember that name, too.
He was the top oncologist at that time in Louisville.
Yeah, I know that our family doctor said it was a tumor. But had
right.
anybody said the C word yet?
No, no one.
I didn't think so. See, I didn't think so
this
either.
This was weeks after the x-ray that showed I had the tumor. Mm-hmm. Nobody. The doctor, when he came to the door and said, you got three options.
Hey, I'm just passing by. By the way, you're on your way out of here. Oh, my gosh,
right.
That's crazy.
So nobody said a word about it. And I'm in Louisville doing all of these other tests and everything. And he comes in, and Mom and Dad are in the room with me. And he comes in and he says, well, Sheila, you have Hodgkin's lymphoma. And my parents kind of looked at him and I went, and that is?
Yeah, you mean,
you have cancer. My dad got up and he went, listen, she doesn't need to hear that right now. You need to just step out.
Like, don't you talk to her that way. You can't talk to her that way. You can't say cancer. Yeah.
But that was the first time we'd ever heard it.
Yeah.
And Dad said, you don't know what it is. He said, yes, we do.
Yeah.
We've done all the tests. We've got everything back. This is what it is. She's in stage 3. We need to start chemo now. And my dad turned so pale.
Mm-hmm.
He really did. And I keep saying my dad, he was yours too.
Yeah.
So that was how I found out I had cancer.
Wow. It's so different now. And I want to talk about that journey, but let's talk real quick. So Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Uh-huh.
And they started chemotherapy before they did any kind of surgery or anything like that, correct?
Well, they said the tumor was of such a size for them to crack my chest at that time, to crack my chest to get it out, would be more detrimental to
yeah.
me. They wanted to see if they could shrink the tumor first.
The one thing I remember about that is I remember going to Louisville and talking to, there was a particular nurse that worked with Dr. Lowenbrow, and she came in and
right.
she said, she was explaining the chemotherapy, and it's like, okay, what's in it? What, you know, what are they doing? The kind of thing. And she's like, okay, so enough of this medicine, this much of this medicine will basically kill you. So we're trying mm-hmm. to figure out what that amount is and then back it off just a little bit from there.
Yeah. That's
so that
exactly
they can
it.
Kill the cancer. And I just remember thinking, wait a minute, what are you saying? You know?
Oh, yeah. I took what was called, it's still available, but it's, of course, 40 years old now. They've gotten better drugs that are less caustic. I took vincristine and nitrogen mustard. And, yes, that is the gas they used in World War II.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's what they injected me with. For chemotherapy.
Goodness gracious.
And this was before ports were put in.
Yeah.
So I had to, every time I took a treatment, try to find a vein that they could access.
And that became an issue because of the caustic nature of the drugs caused all your veins to shut down.
Right, right. And so they would have to go deeper and until it came down to my knees. They wanted to use my knees because they couldn't get anything in my arms anymore.
My goodness.
So,
you beat Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Yes, I did.
I remember while you were taking, because you came back to that. That's the thing, Sheila, that I think about sometimes. You came back to school
mm-hmm.
and went to school while you were taking these treatments. And I remember
right.
going with you to the hospital to get transfusions.
Right.
And holding your hand, and your arm would get so cold because they were giving you platelets, I guess, right?
Mm-hmm, right. Pack cells and platelets.
And it was frozen,
mm-hmm.
and your arm would get so cold. And I remember just holding your hand and your arm and it being so cold. But
right.
you got through all of that.
Right.
Beat Hodgkin's lymphoma, graduated from college.
Mm-hmm.
We graduated together. Because
yes,
of the delay in
the delay.
Getting
it
back
took
there.
A solid year. Took a solid year of treatment.
So we got to graduate together from college. So
yeah,
that was
kind
of cool.
It was. Parents were really happy.
Yeah, exactly. One party, that's it. So you graduate from college.
Uh-huh.
Things are going well. I remember having the conversation with you that they said 7 years, that's the window. If it's
right.
If it doesn't come back in 7 years, then there's a good chance that, you know, you're good, you're out of the woods kind of thing.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
And 6 years and what was it, 9 months?
Mm-hmm. So, it was very close to seven. I can't remember the exact months.
I think it was
yeah.
6 years and 9 months, if I remember, after getting your clean bill of health, mm-hmm. you called me and said it's back. But it wasn't exactly that. It was something different.
Yes, it was breast cancer.
Yeah.
It was breast cancer. That was my first breast cancer. And so I had to go through a biopsy, and it was cancer. And so he said, the thing of it is that I wasn't going to be able to have any kind of radiation because of the massive doses I had had with my Hodgkin's, and that the only option was removal
mm-hmm.
of the breast. And I said, okie dokie.
Yeah.
I'd been married 3 years.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we took it off, and I did fine.
Wow. Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Until?
About 17 years later, I found another lump on the other breast. So I went and had the biopsy, and they came back. Yes, it's cancer. So I said, let's just take it off. Let's just take it off.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, are you sure? So they put me on a pill, and I could take it, but I did have side effects from it.
Mm-hmm.
I had what was called long bone pain, and that's where, obviously, the bones in my body felt like they were being drawn and quartered, if you will,
mm-hmm.
pulled and stretched when they couldn't do that. So it was painful at times, and, you know, but I did my 5 years on that one, and I'm good. Cancer-free right now.
So when I was putting this podcast together and the idea for it and started thinking about it, you were the first story. I know you're my last podcast because I didn't know if I'd be able to make it through it or not, so I decided to save it for last. But you were okay. The first thing that I thought of when I was talking about the heroic stories in the fight against cancer, because your 40-year battle with this
mm-hmm. right.
Over the years, I think, is an interesting and amazing window into how things have changed, obviously.
Oh, absolutely.
And how the treatment
absolutely.
Has changed. But
when Sylvia got cancer, and I noticed, I mean, her cancer was totally different.
She had melanoma, for those that are listening that may not know.
Right.
It's our sister Sylvia. Yeah, so.
I forget it's not just you and me talking.
Well, it is, kind of. Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So I noticed the intensive care that had developed over the years,
mm-hmm.
the concern, the way they talked with you, you know. People kind of, when I was going through it, people were like, oh, she's got cancer.
Mm-hmm.
It was a whispered thing. And now that person is embraced
mm-hmm.
fully, emotionally, physically, everything that that a person needs to fight.
People always ask, you know, why are you so passionate about MD Anderson and helping out and all the stuff you mm-hmm. do with the boot walk and everything? And it's exactly what you just said. It's when you see what mm-hmm. they do there every day. Sheila, you got to come down last year and be
yes.
part of Boot Walk. We all walked in honor of Sylvia,
right.
who we lost, and just to see what they do and what it is now to go through cancer treatment. It just, MD Anderson is just the best. It's just, I mean, it's just amazing.
Phenomenal.
Well, it's
a phenomenal facility, but the people who run that facility are phenomenal people. I saw nurses and doctors and patients who were going through chemo
mm-hmm.
and going through the treatment process. I saw all kinds of family members who had lost, you know, and it was so uplifting, so encouraging. To know that that battle is being controlled.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. That battle, you don't go it alone. You are not alone. Do not forget that. They don't let you forget it.
That's true. That's one of the things I love about MD Anderson the most is just the sense of community that you get. And so many people that I've talked to, not only for this podcast, but, David's mom, Samantha, talked about how the staff there and the people that work with you become family. I mean, you're in this shared, struggle together. And they become family, like family to you. So that's talking that's about Sylvia. And I remember having a conversation with her, and I asked her if she thought she was going to die. And she told me yes. We had a long conversation about that. But in thinking about this interview and talking to you, the most probably I've talked to you in quite a few years about your cancer.
Right.
I don't think I ever asked you that question because I try to think about this because at the time, I don't think I wanted to know the answer to that.
Oh, yes. I understand that. I really do.
But did you ever think...
Did I feel like I was going to die?
Yeah.
The only time I ever felt like I was going to die is when they were giving me treatments.
Well, I mean, if they were injecting mustard gas into your veins, I can see why.
When I would get over the treatments, I was like, man, I'm doing good.
I got this, yeah.
I've got this. But boy, when I would go in for the radiation, I remember one day I had just finished my upper series on the upper chest, and they were going to do the lower, which was my gut and down. And I had been sick all night long, just really sick. And when I got there, I told the nurse when I walked in, she said, you know the drill. I went, yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't think I want any more of this. And she turned around and looked at me with just the most quizzical look on her face. And she said, fine. You don't want treatment? You need to make up your mind real quick because I got people out there trying to live.
Wow.
And she walked out of the room and I was like, wait a minute.
Hang on. Can I reconsider? Yeah.
Yeah. So I set my head out the door.
Wow.
And I'm like, fine, I'll do it.
Yeah. Well,
but,
I think that is honestly though, and you and I have talked about this, mm-hmm. but I think not that it's the only thing, obviously, but I think the desire to continue to fight is so important.
Yes, it is. It truly is. Once you give up on that, it doesn't really matter what they give you. You're losing.
Mm-hmm.
You're losing the battle. If you can't get your mind on board with whatever it is that you're having to go through, if you can't get your mind on board with that and find a way that you can fight the way you have to fight, you're losing your battle. That's my interpretation of it.
Yeah, your takeaway from it. Yeah.
Right. If I ever had those doubts, those were my worst days. When I started doubting that this was going to do anything, this was going to be any good,
right.
This was going to get me to the other side. Those were my worst days,
Mm-hmm.
And Sylvia always said, whenever she got any news, remember, what did she say? Just give me what? 3 days.
3 days.
Yep. Give me 3 days.
Yeah.
I can get my head around this, and I can get on board, and we'll do it. Give me 3 days.
Yeah.
And that's what we do. We say, whatever you want. There's 3 days you want to cry, you want to throw, you want to break, you want to stop, you want to scream. We'll do it. 3 days of that.
Yep. But then it's back
morning,
to it.
She'd wake up, she'd go, all right, let's get busy.
Yeah, let's get back to it.
Yeah.
Well, your strength is amazing to me and a motivator for me. So I just want you to know that.
I know I love you and that you were with me the entire trip. You may not have been physically with me always, but you called me. You encouraged me. You were there. You sat and would watch Three Stooges with me. Come on.
I do remember that. By the way, my sister Sheila hates me visiting her in the hospital. Because
he's the worst, guys. He's the worst.
I'm the worst, like, co-pilot in a hospital room because I always feel like I have to entertain, and she's got 27 stitches, you know, across here and everything like that, and I'm telling jokes, and she's like, get out now.
You've got to leave. I've got to recover, and I can't with you.
Well.
But you were there for me.
Yeah.
And I never, ever can forget that.
Well, I can't forget your fight and your battle, and it motivates me every day. And I think you see the same thing. I see the same thing in people I know that are involved in the boot walk and have similar stories about their families and stuff. So
yes, it has a cohesive vein that runs through it. The stories, every one of them, they're mm-hmm. about different people, about different diseases, but they have that cohesive vein of fight.
Yeah. Sheila, thank you.
You're welcome.
I appreciate you being the last in my series of podcasts for MD Anderson, but really, I do appreciate it. How's your new grandbaby?
Oh, she's wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. And that was another thing that my radiologist told me before I started treatment. He said, you will never have children mm-hmm. out of all the list of things that were going to happen
to me. Oh, by the way, like, let me throw this in. When you're 18, 19 years old,
Right. And I'm like, what? And I do remember my mom and Pat. Mom and Pat were with me. And Pat was holding my hand, and I was crying. And she said, Sheila, he doesn't know that. And I went, yeah. I feel like he does.
I feel like he might have a little insight on that, yeah.
Right. And sure enough, I became infertile with the treatment. But I became a mother of two beautiful, amazing young men.
Yes, you did.
I have two sons. Sam and I have two sons. And he was wrong. I am a mother. I may not have given birth, but I am a mother. And now I'm a grandmother.
Amazing stuff. Love you, kiddo.
Yes, it is. I love you too, sweetheart. You have a good day.
Thanks for sharing.
You're welcome.
These amazing stories that you're hearing each week on the Walk a Mile in My Boots podcast, they just, I don't know, they get to the heart of what this is all about, and that is the MD Anderson Boot Walk to End Cancer. It's so personal to me, and I know for so many people that have friends or spouses or relatives or grandkids that have been treated at MD Anderson and know what this mission is all about. If you'd like to help that, and that's the thing I love about this, all of these funds stay local. 100% goes to fund research, patient services, everything at MD Anderson. Can you help out? Maybe it's $10. Maybe it's $25. I feel awkward at times asking for money, but that's how much I hate this disease, is that I'll ask for your help. So if you've heard this story today and it touched your heart, it spoke to you in some way, we'd be honored for you to make a donation. It's simple to do. Just email me, george@thebullhouston.com. I'll send you a link. It is absolutely private. You can tell people that you made the donation. You can keep it absolutely private. You can make it in honor or in memory of someone. But we'd be honored if you join us on this walk and for your support of these heroic stories in the fight against cancer.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.